And welcome back to the Pinstripe Podcast. I'm going to apologize for my voice right away before I shoot it over to Scotty. What's going on?
Finals. So that kind of sets the mood.
Yeah, and honestly, it kind of works out that there's no baseball to talk about because I've had no free time to think about anything other than my finals. It's been a rough week, but I'm finished. I know you're not, right?
No, I'm just getting into it.
That's tough. So obviously we are still deep into this lockout. We are, 13 days into the lockout now?
13, should be right.
We're recording this on Tuesday, sorry.
Yeah.
We're very ahead of the game. We're assuming there won't be any news between Tuesday and Friday.
Yeah.
We had to get ahead of some travel stuff. It's just every day I sit and I'm like, Scotty, I try to figure out what we could talk about. And there's not much.
Not at all.
But this week we have one. Aaron Judge got married yesterday. Congratulations. I don't know who gets married on a Monday, but cool.
Somebody who has nothing else to do for the rest of the winter.
We've heard nothing from either the MLBPA or Major League Baseball. So we don't know where the lockout situation is standing. The Justin Verlander contract was finalized, which I thought was.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that that was allowed during a lockout, but apparently there was just some disagreements on some wording, which seems dramatic, but.
They also don't know what that wording is.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is weird. But he is the lone probably, official signing news out of the lockout situation. But Scotty, do you want to talk about what was going on Twitter with a former Yankee, as it's really the only news that we can bring you guys this week?
Yeah. So as everybody knows, Clint Frazier we DFA'd him, and then the Chicago Cubs picked him up. And he just started posting things on Twitter, on Instagram, all about these things. I think the first thing he was like, oh, I'm thankful to be able to go and be a Cubs now, or like something like that. Like he was kind of saying this stuff.
How he likes the uniform, how he can leave his razor at home.
Yeah, like he kind of kept talking was the issue. And so it brought up a lot of tension between Yankee fans and him. They're like, okay, screw off. Like, come on, that's just a little too much of what he's saying. There's a lot of things that went on with him saying that. Another tweet of him going, I can wear 77 because 7 was taken, or something like that, or it might have been the opposite way. Now I don't have to wear 77 because 7 is taken, or something like that. Yeah. So he just kind of really kept going on it and really didn't get on the good side of any kind of Yankee fan, as if he already wasn't on a lot of Yankee fans' bad side.
Yeah, at one point somebody said, good, the Yankees won't miss you. And he said, I won't miss the Yankees either. I mean, obviously, it doesn't matter. The guy's not a Yankee anymore, but there's clearly nothing else for us to talk about. I think it is a little unfair on both sides. One, I think that a lot of people gave Clint Frazier a lot of shit as a Yankee. Some of it in due diligence, like some of it he deserved, but also I don't know, he was a top prospect for the Yankees. He was like mad that the Yankees never gave him a shot, but he also was in
an did get a shot a few times.
Yeah, he was one given a shot twice and shit the bed, but he was also, I don't know, I feel like sometimes you have to look at the organization you're in, and you can be a top prospect all you want, but unless you are like the best of the best to ever play the game, if they have a guy on a contract, that guy's going to play. Like, they're spending money on Aaron Hicks. Aaron Hicks is going to play. But,
and again, the whole thing appeared, and we even complimented him a few times on this. His personality was looking better, a lot better this year, because that was the whole thing of when he first came up. He really had a lot of personality problems, and then it looked like it was improving. And now since this signing with the Cubs, it all kind of declined again. You're like, all right, well, this is just, it's unnecessary.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't wish him bad. I hope that his health things can get sorted out. I don't, you know, we never quite knew what they were. It wasn't very specific. When he was rehabbing this past summer, he took himself out of the game. So I don't know what was going on. And I hope that he can shed some light on that as he tries to like make a comeback. But I hope that he can do it without keeping the Yankee name in his mouth. But I think a problem that he's going to face is that he's going to the Cubs with Marcus Stroman, who also can't keep the Yankees name out of his mouth.
Yeah.
So I feel like that might be a tough pair heading over there.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. And then during all of this, CC Sabathia had his little talk show.
C3.
Yeah, and he went off as well on Clint Frazier. I'm going to be honest, when I first like read the whole situation, I was like, okay, this isn't all that bad. And then like I kept reading like all the things he said and how it just continued, and I'm like, okay, this is excessive.
It's just
June, if all things go well, June 10th through the 12th, we are in New York playing the Cubs.
If we play baseball.
Yeah, that's if all if things we go play well. Baseball
and if Clint Frazier plays baseball.
Well, it'll still be Stroman would probably be in there, yeah, as well. So there'll be a lot of fun hatred going along. Wow. Yeah.
It'll be interesting.
Wow, we have
What are you looking at the schedule?
Play the Pirates next year.
Overall, I don't think that this would have really been a story if we weren't in the lockout. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Like this would have been.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it would, because at the same point of if we weren't in a lockout, that brings up the question, would the Yankees actually be making moves, or would we still just be doing absolutely nothing?
Very true. Good question. Probably doing nothing.
So, you know, I think it probably still would probably find a way to still be news.
I think the one annoying thing about the lockout, and I think I said this earlier, is that we've literally heard nothing. Like, what's going on?
We don't get any updates.
Do they just wait for one of them to fold? I don't understand.
Well, I think they're probably talking to each other a lot. It's just not allowed to get out.
Stupid.
Or nobody wants to say anything that's getting out because nobody knows what's true and what's not true. And like that's the whole thing of I mean, the lockout in general, and like you saw reports of it, they're like, oh, okay, it's a discussion between players and owners. That's all they did. They're not going and saying, oh, players want this amount of money. So like nobody knows who to blame. Nobody knows if it's, you know, the owners being greedy or if it's the players being excessively greedy. And so nobody, like, there's literally
the other one.
Yeah. They're saying it's each other's fault, and it's just there's nothing coming out of it, and there's nothing that it ain't looking great, but you know that's what happens.
That's baseball, Susan. Do you want to talk about who you got to meet? That's literally the only other thing that I have to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. So here at my school, we have a NSMA chapter. So it's National Sports Media Association. I was getting there. And so it's just like groups of people in our sports media and sports management majors kind of being able to go and be in this group. And we do things with each other, so we get to meet each other. And then each year, normally we aren't able to help them, but they have an NSMA Hall of Fame. Normally it happens in June. This year, because of COVID, last year it happened in December, and then there's one in June as well. And so we go to this place, we help out, and it's just a bunch of sports casters and sports writers who will get appreciated. They have like awards for like best caster and best writer for each state. And then they'll have like writer of the year, and a bunch of Hall of Fame inductees and stuff like that. So it was a really cool event, especially me being able to go there and like, you know, meet all these people, talk to all these people. I get to meet a bunch of cool people. Bob Ryan, I don't know if you know Bob Ryan. You should know Bob Ryan because you're in Boston. And so if you mention that name and mention that you at all had any contact with him, he'll you'll probably get a lot of attention there in Boston. He actually came up and talked to me because he saw that I had a High Point thing, and he's our in residence, kind of like a, I don't even know like what the heck their in residence really do here, but they just kind of show up every once in a while, and they're like these famous people who kind of help out the school. And he walked up to me and he goes, "So how's the team going?" And I'm like, what? I took me a minute, but then I knew it had to be basketball because that was kind of what he was known for, was basketball. And he's really into High Point basketball. And so I went on like a little like 5-minute talk with him about our basketball team. And then he goes, tell me like other things. And I was like, oh, I'm a big baseball fan. I'm a Yankee fan. He goes, "So how do you feel about Gary Sanchez?" I'm like, oh God. I said, the best option. I was like, you know, his hitting's up and down, and then, you know, I can't love his defense. He goes, "What, you don't like the sound of pass balls?" So it was things like that that was fun, being able to talk to him. Jim Nance was there as well, so it was amazing. I actually got a picture with him, and it was a really cool experience. I didn't know he was like 6'4". The guy's massive. And then it's so weird to be in a place like that because – you hear these people who you're used to hearing on the TV, and they have the same exact voice. You have the same exact voice. Jim Nance walks up there, and then he did like little things like whatever he does, like every broadcast he starts and he goes, "Hello friends." And you hear that and you're like, what the hell, where's the TV? And then he went and he did a whole thing at the end where he was like, he like mimicked a one of his golf broadcasts, and you're like, what the hell. It just rings in your head, and you're like, this is familiar as anything.
I think it's interesting. Did you meet anybody whose voice didn't sound like when they're on TV?
No, they all have the same voice. I don't know if it's that or if that I didn't meet them, and then when they were on the stage presenting, they wanted to make that be their voice.
Yeah, because we had Stephen A. Smith coming and talk to us at one point.
And, well, when he's not yelling, he probably has a very different voice.
Well, he would like go in and out of the voice. It was very interesting. You could tell like when he was talking about like actual like the NBA, it was Stephen A. Smith talking to you. But when he was talking about like his background and him coming up, it was Stephen Smith talking to you. And it was very different. But like, yeah, seeing the people whose voices you always hear online, or not online, but like on TV, when you it sounds weird, but when you see them doing the talking, it doesn't seem correct.
Yeah.
Because it's too pure. Like when I would be at the Bruins broadcasts and I would be like literally giving them the sheets that they have to read, I'm like, this doesn't feel real because this doesn't happen in real life. Like this is just a part of the TV. Like it's not an actual real life thing.
Like, yeah, and like there's that, and then there are people that like there's one person he does the Tampa Bay Buccaneers announcing, and I was like, I could not tell you what he looked like, I couldn't tell you his name, I couldn't tell anything about him, but when he went up there and started talking, I was like, I know that man.
Yeah.
And so it was really cool. Got a lot of different facts. Before I go to the person that I actually know the whole point of this, I didn't know Jim Nance is like 64. He has a 7-year-old daughter. Her son, I forget which one it is, but he is a 7-year-old child as a 64-year-old man.
Rich old men do whatever they want.
It was just like, wow, that's interesting.
that's a fact.
But yeah, they went, and there's a bunch of people there who got inducted. As I said, Jim Nance was inducted. You also had Dick Stockton got inducted. Another person you should know up there in Boston. Writer of the year actually would end up being Wojnarowski. He sadly couldn't make it.
Also came to our school. He recorded a podcast.
He didn't actually show up though. Tough. He said he was feeling under the weather. And he they did a whole thing about it. But it's like I didn't realize like how much like these people are appreciated. These people are known, first of all, besides everybody that was there was above the age of 55, except like 10. But like Wojnarowski, that would have been his third year in a row winning Sports Writer of the Year.
He's ridiculous. Like not only when he came to us did people talk about him, but like even the year before when Stephen A was there, he's like, that man knows nobody else breaks NBA news except for Woj.
Yeah.
Like, and I know,
people
like,
go to him.
With baseball, you're like, oh yeah, there's Passan, but there's Passan, there's Heyman. Like, there are other, like, yeah, we personally trust Passan the most, but there are other sources. With the NBA, it is just Woj.
Yeah.
And that's wild.
But then the main person that I was there for, and I was really, really excited to hear speak and everything, Tom Verducci was there. First of all, when he was on the stage, he looked no older than 30. And then you meet him in person, he looks no older than like 45, 50. He's 61. And you're like, what the hell? Again, that's a guy that, like, you know his name. Of course, being, into baseball, you kind of hear him all the time. But it was great hearing his speech. And then I was actually able to go and talk to him after it all. I knew a lot about, like, I didn't know he was actually from, I kind of knew he was actually from New Jersey. Like, I kind of read something, he's actually from New Jersey and stuff like that. And then I kind of heard this whole thing and I talked to him about it. So that was like a really cool experience to be able to talk to him. I spoke to him and I go, so is to like now your vacation with the lockout? And he goes, yeah, normally it is, but I'm writing a book. So congrats to him writing a book, first of all. Second of all, congrats to him getting in the Hall of Fame, like the sportscaster hall, or the sports media Hall of Fame, which is another amazing thing. So I was like, oh yeah, so it's like a blessing in disguise. You know, you have your downtime that's still an uptime. And then so yeah, there's stuff like that. It was just really cool to talk to him. I was like, I can't imagine that this is kind of a blessing for you, because being a writer, you at no point do you get a break. During the season is just as crazy as the off season.
Yeah.
And you have no time.
Crazier because you have no content.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but at the same time, you always have content of trade, you know, rumors, all this stuff. Like, you're constantly going and talking to different people all around. But it was a really cool interaction with him. You know, somebody who can go and be that guy on top of both casting, like sideline reporting and writing. They had a story where he went and on the 2015 year when the Cubs won, they're like, it's amazing that he went and was able to sideline report and interview Chris Bryant, and then not even 6 hours later put out a 500 word or like a 500 per not even a 500 word, I think it was more than that, like document of, you know, the whole World Series and everything like that. And just, they're like, wow, like, he really is some other kind. And it was amazing to meet him and amazing to talk to him. It was just a really cool experience.
Big flex. Did you tell any of them that you have a show? No.
I did mention it.
Nice.
I mentioned it Verducci. I go, yeah, well, my sister and I have a podcast together, and like we're running out of things to talk about right now. I was like, I can't imagine that you're any better. He was like, yeah,
I'm writing a book.
He's been doing it for a while, so he was like scared that if the lockout didn't go through, he and his book. But I was like, yeah, I'm sorry for you to say this, but I want to get this lockout done as soon as possible. And I know that the longer this lockout goes, you have a vacation, but I'm sorry, I want this lockout to end.
We're really running out of things to do. Yeah. That's awesome. I am very glad that you had that experience. And I don't mean to rush us, but my computer is going to die. And what the hell else is there to talk about?
Nothing.
Next week, Scotty and I will be back in person. Yeah, right?
Woo, woo, yeah.
And I promise, traveling in finals, Scotty and I did not have time to come up with like an actual topic to talk about during the lockout. But I do plan on spending the next few days trying to come up with like things that we can talk about that can like last throughout the off season. So I promise next week we'll have a little bit more structure to it. I swear. And hopefully my voice will sound better. But until then, you can follow us on Instagram, where we're not spreading a whole lot of news because there isn't a whole lot, but it's at pinstripe.podcast. And until then, you can follow the show, subscribe to the show, interact with the show however you can on whatever platform you're on. You can share it. That makes us feel good, makes you feel good, all the good things. And we will see you next week. For Scotty, I am Lexi, and this has been the Pinstripe Podcast. Bye.